I'm so happy for one reason, that we are discussing on this subject and probably discovered that we really don't probably know the full idea or the concept of the gospel, okay? Number one, gospel does not do repair work upon a sinner. Gospel is not a tool that does a repair work. You hit upon a sinner, you tie a screw here, and you put a bolt there, and you make a new being. No, that is not gospel work. That is done by the philosophers and gurujis and the scholars of this world. Scholars of this world, they do repair work. Right? Gospel is transformation. It makes... I would go one step ahead and say like that. Gospel does not make a bad person good. No. Some of us think like that. I disagree with that. Gospel does not make a bad person good. Gospel makes a dead person alive. Can we preach that? There are many philosophies in this world that makes a bad person good. Let me tell you. Humanistic philosophy. Atheism. Charles Dawkins. You read Charles Dawkins, a radical atheist. I'm surprised by hearing to radical atheist people. And you know something? There are good human beings there out there without God who do good work. But gospel does not do all such things. Gospel makes a dead person alive. That is the power, Romans 1:16. Now, I just want to give some insight into the nature or character of the gospel. Let's turn to Revelations chapter 14 and verse 6. There we see the nature as a beautiful verse. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. I don't have time to go into the context. Gospel is preaching the good news concerning everlasting life and entrance into the kingdom of God. And here, he's urging the people of the world to change their allegiance from the beast to the lamb. Now look at the word there. Having the everlasting gospel to preach. That means the nature of the gospel is eternal. It has not evolved from man's mind. It has come from God's mind. Ephesians 1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before eternity. Before even the earth was created, they made a package. They made a package. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They sit together. They made a package of the gospel before eternity. And that package, you know what is written there? Before the foundation of the world, he, what did he do? Is there anybody who has understood that verse? Please explain me. I have not understood that verse. I cannot understand that verse. Warren Wiersbe has made a beautiful statement. You know, he says, Warren Wiersbe says, and that is the beauty of the gospel. If I understand anything, if I have understood anything, if I have done something, and if I know how it has been done, that means I have done it. If I have done something, I don't know how it happened, that means God has done it. Example. My daughter's wedding. I need 10 lakhs. I know I have 10 lakhs. I saved that 10 lakhs. I put in bank deposit that 10 lakhs. Daughter's wedding was done. 10 lakhs was spent. Who did it? Who did it? I did it. Another example. Daughter's wedding is there. I need 10 lakhs. I don't have a single penny. The wedding happened. And I did not take any debt, any credit, and it happened. Who did it? God did it. That is gospel. You get that? We will never be able to finish off understanding the centrality and the eternality and of that great work, we will never understand. That is why it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Come on, that is superb comprehension. It is beyond our understanding that God chose us before the foundation of the world. That is His foreknowledge. That is His foreknowledge. Number two, that means gospel is eternal, right? Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. If there is a signature verse in the Bible, which you ask me, brother, what is your signature verse in the Bible? That 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Beautiful. Now, this verse has come from the heart of Paul. No one can describe gospel better than Paul. Now look at here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. One of the powerful words. If somebody wants to, you know, make it so practical, this is one verse. Four verse six. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, how does it start? It is God who commanded. Gospel starts from God's mind, through His mind, by His mind, not from man. It cannot happen. See, how does it start? It is God who commanded. What? Light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who is writing? Paul. Three words there. Light, knowledge, and glory. Who was Paul? By birth he was a Hebrew. And Hebrews, they look for light. Who was Paul? By his learning he was a Greek. The Greeks look for knowledge. Who was Paul? He was a citizen. He had the citizenship of Rome. Romans look for glory. He combines all this, the Hebrew lineage, the knowledge of Greeks, and the glory of Romans, and he brings upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know when we will say a big amen. How does he do it? Look at that verse. Light and the knowledge and glory. The face of Jesus Christ. So that means gospel is eternal. Number two, gospel is glorious. Number three, gospel is powerful. Romans 1:16, we know. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now why it is written like that? Why it is the power of God? Because it has power to transform. It has power to make a dead person alive. I was teaching in a Bible school this March, North India Bible Institute, and in the time of lunch, one student comes to my room with a cup of tea and said, "Sir, this is tea for you." I said, "Please take your seat." I said, "I did not see you." I said, "Sir, I am studying for BTH second year. You are teaching BTH first year. That's why we could not meet you." I said, "Okay, what's your name?" "My name is Sunil." "From where do you come?" I said, "I come from Satna, Madhya Pradesh." Okay, Satna. That's a very strong fundamentalist, Hindu fundamentalist place, okay? And this guy takes a seat and starts talking to me. I ask a question. "Sunil, what does gospel mean to you?" He gave a smile on his face. He said, "I hated Christ. I hated Christians. I hated Christianity. I hated church. There was one day I started reading Epistle of Paul according to Colossians." Can you take that verse? And look at this guy. And look at his conviction. Colossians chapter 2, 13 onwards. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, being forgiven you all trespasses." Oh, beautiful. Now, verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He looks at my face, sir. When I read this verse, I got saved. I said, really? So that day, I accepted Christ. He said, what is so special of this about this verse, Sunil? Sir, what are you talking? You want to know what is special about this verse? And this guy starts explaining, you know, and I was so curious. And this guy says, you know, if God keeps a radiography machine, X-ray machine, upon our head and he does a CT scan, full body scan. And this guy says, if God is going to keep the CT scan machine upon from head to toe, I'll be the dirtiest, useless, wretched, stinking sinner of this world. He said, yes, sir. And when I, and if God is going to show the film of that CT scan before me, I'll not be able to see it. That was my life. And he says then, the handwriting of requirements that was against me, that was contrary to me, he simply wipes it away. I can't understand, how can Christ do that? And this guy goes on to explain his life. Brothers, you know why some of us don't cherish it? Some of us don't live it. Some of us don't enjoy it. Because we have got used to it. Some of us have got used to it. We are complacent of the gospel, let me tell you. And we need to awaken, we need to get revived. There is nothing like gospel when you get up in the morning and close your eyes, fix your eyes and gaze your eyes on the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. That will make you and I fresh every day. And that is why we need gospel every day. It is not a one-time act. Faith is not a one-time act. Faith is a continuous process. You started by repenting and believing. You live by repenting and believing. Am I right? We started this life by repenting and believing. Don't stop there. We live this life by repenting and believing. That's why we are dealing with the topic of repentance. So, gospel, the eternality of the gospel we saw, the glorious nature of the gospel, the power of the gospel. Okay, fine. So, what is my responsibility? Come on. Gospel has a responsibility. Let's turn to Galatians 1, 6, 7. We have already seen that. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay. Now, people are turning to what? People are turning to what? I don't know how many of you have met brethren, believers who believed in the gospel, baptized and have turned away. I really don't know. I know some of them. Roman Catholicism. You know what the Pope says from Vatican? The Roman Catholicism, they believe in natural theology. Now, what is natural theology? The Pope teaches from Vatican that the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, if the Catholic people believe, they will go to heaven. That is natural theology of Catholicism. That is a different gospel. What do some of the Protestants, what do they teach? They teach the theology of wider mercy. There can be mercies outside Christ. That is a theology of wider mercy. Evangelicals are no exception. There are a group of evangelicals, and A.T. Wright, he has written a great script, and he has just thrown the doctrine of substitution and propitiation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not simply believe in doctrinal substitution. So I know people who have turned to Catholicism from this faith. I know people who have gone to wider mercy theology from this gospel. And I also know people who have gone to cult groups from this gospel. I'm sorry to say that. That guy is from North India. He goes to Germany. He goes to Germany and gets in contact with a cult. A brother and man joins a cult group. So don't think that people are not turning away. Now, why did they turn? That's a reason for debate. We can always sit and debate about it. You can always go on saying that they were never born again. Probably we can prove it from the epistle of 1 John. They were not of us, and that's why they went out from amongst us. We can always quote that verse. And Paul here is admonishing the Galatians, and he says, you are turning from this gospel to salvation plus works, salvations and circumcision. And that's why in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, he calls them what? My beautiful Galatians? No. Oh, foolish guy. Paul is angry. Let me tell you, Paul is angry in Galatians. He does not start with the usual style of other epistles. No. He does not appreciate their faith. He's angry here. And he has reason to be angry. Fully angry. So turning away from this gospel is a sin. And that's what we are doing. I remember D.L. Moody. You know what Moody used to say? The greatest preacher, he used to go to Bristol. And Moody became famous by preaching in England. He comes back and participates at the Great Awakening. He becomes a great preacher. 40 acres of land in Chicago is named after Moody's Bible school. You know what Moody said? He warned gospel preachers like this in one missions conference. And he says, my dear preachers, I want to warn you. Preach the person of Christ. Preach the work of Christ. Preach the demand of Christ. They understood the person and the work. Mr. Moody, what is that demand of Christ? You don't understand? Let's turn to Luke's gospel. Moody says, come on, let's open to gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. Now that is the demand of the gospel. I think today's churches, today's believers, we have forgotten this demand. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. When was the last in my assemblies there was a sermon on discipleship? When was the last? Can you think about it? When was the last in my assembly there was a sermon or a teaching on discipleship? God does not want fans. God wants followers. He doesn't want fans. If that was the case in John chapter 6, he would have told to Peter, after that strong teaching of John chapter 6, many followers left. Come to verse 67. The 12 were left. Jesus said, you also want to leave? What did Peter say? Where shall we go? Eternal things belong to? Jesus was not bothered about crowd. You want to go? Go. Come on. I am least bothered about it. You know why? He wants only followers, not fans. Some of us have turned fans today of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what Moody was preaching. Demand of the gospel is discipleship. Demand of the gospel is taking up the cross. Demand of the gospel is denying self. Demand of the gospel is to die daily to this world. Now that is the problem. I think it is here that we need to give teaching to our assemblies. It is here we need to train disciples.
I take 5 people in a year and mentor and disciple. I keep them in my home. I myself cook food with my hands and feed them. And I teach hermeneutics, exegetics, and all the principles of teaching in evangelism and missions and, you know, everything. I take 5 people every year. And that is my satisfaction at the end of the day. That's it. My dear brothers, we need to produce disciples.
Brethren, doctrine, or the Bible doctrine, does not believe in producing salvation babies.
We are satisfied by producing salvation babies. We need to produce discipleship, disciples. Am I right?
We produce salvation babies. That's it.
Live it. And tell him, you study the Bible alone. You learn singing alone. You survive in the church alone. If something happens, we'll throw you out also, okay? Am I right? If something happens, we will throw you out also. That is ridiculous. So Moody was asked, and you know what Moody said? You need to preach this. You need to preach Christ. You need to preach repentance. You need to preach crucifixion. You need to preach resurrection, ascension. You need to preach discipleship. And then Moody said, now wait and see. How many hands will go up? And then he said, this way is a narrow way. Matthew 7:14. You preach that also. Then let us see how many of the hands will go up to follow Christ. That was Moody. And today we have diluted. Let me tell you, we have diluted. You know what we say? You want to go to heaven? Will any child will say, no, uncle. Yes, okay. Parent a prayer after me. Amen. Son, write the date in the back of your Bible. And if you forget that, refer that date. And the day of baptism, refer that date in the assembly and get baptized. Okay, uncle, thank you so much. Today I'm going to go and say to my mama, I'm saved. Okay, praise God. Oh, thank God. Son, we were crying and praying for you. And not denying your salvation. Let me tell you. Let the conviction of sin develop in a child, because sinner only needs a savior. And what are we doing? We have a time frame. Okay, 6 years old, you need to get saved. 18 years old, you need to get baptized. Where is the work of the Spirit? Where is the work of the Spirit? And this guy, by default, becomes an elder of the church. What kind? Carnal. And then we have all kinds of problems. You know why? He never had the conviction of sin. He never had the conviction of the cross. He never had the conviction of Christ. He never had the conviction of repentance. And this is what Moody said. What is salvation, or what is getting born again without repentance? It is no salvation. Do you agree with me? Can a sinner accept Christ? Can a person accept Christ without repentance? Yes or no? No. That's why I said we have diluted it. Let's not be in a rat race. I was preaching in Dubai, 2011. Listen to this. And first day I preached. Second day I was climbing on the stairs to go into the room to preach. And one brother comes from behind. I said, brother, how many souls yesterday? I said, classic zero. Wow. I said, brother, how about you? Brother, classic 16. Congratulations. I'm not denying that 16 are not saved. They are saved, fine. But he has another question. Brother, all the best. You will get some today. I said, brother, I'm not expecting. I'm expecting a classic zero today as well. Why, brother? Brother, let me do my job. Let God do his job. Let the Spirit of God do his job. Are we trying to get a target of producing salvation babies? Can we allow God to work in a soul? Can we allow the Spirit of God to work and bring the conviction of cross, sin, and Christ? That person will never turn to another gospel. Did you get that? That soul will not turn to another gospel. That soul will practice sanctification. That soul will practice holiness. That soul will die to the world. But today, things have changed. Things have changed. I think we need to get back to basics. You know, every sport, you take soccer, you take football, you take baseball, you take cricket, you take any sport, you know what will the coach say? Every coach knows one principle of success and victory, and that principle is stick to basics. It applies to spirituality. In spirituality also, don't go for fanciful things. Stick to basics. We will get results. We will get results. And I think, let me urge, I think most of you do word ministry on Sundays. Am I right? I guess so. Most of you. How many of us end the Sunday word ministry with the gospel? Is it a good question? How many of us end the word ministry by 5 to 7 minutes of gospel? I leave the answer to you. If you don't, those who do word ministry, take Bible studies, please say gospel at the end. Nothing like gospel. Nothing like gospel. My eldest daughter, she was turning 17 and 18, and my mother used to force me. You know, force me. Yada, avlu prayamai, avlodu para snanapadan. I'll tell you, brother, she's getting of age, and tell her to get baptized. I said, Mom, what are you saying? Did you do that with me also? I said, Mommy, keep quiet. That is God's work. We are praying. And she was coaxing me, and she was forcing me as if, you know, what? Tell, my wife said, tell Mommy to keep quiet. Tell Mommy to keep quiet. You know, we have got into that habit of producing it, you know, to make people do, take decisions, and as if at the age of 18, somehow somebody has to take baptism. I said, ask Mommy, why are you telling that? You know, she is going to go out of the home after 18 years to study in a different place, and she will go to an assembly. She will not, and then when the bread comes, and she will sit like this. I said, come on, Mommy. Are you worried about that? I said, just for that you wanted to take baptism? Then she said, I think I'm wrong. I said, Mommy, you're wrong. Did you get our whole concept? We have diluted it. Let's accept it. I was preaching in Atlanta. Somebody asked me, Uncle, in our midst, why there is so much of spiritual dryness? Good question. I'll give the answer. Some of us have not understood the gospel properly. And for us, it has become an escape route to heaven from hell. That's it. No. First Timothy chapter 2. God wants all to be saved. And after that there is a comma. So that they may come to the knowledge of truth. So what is gospel? Coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is gospel. The time is up. It's a beautiful narrative in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22. When the covenant promise was prophesied to the nation of Israel, and the shadow of the gospel is there in Ezekiel chapter 36 from 22 to 27. And we see the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ of that covenant promise. Beautiful shadow that is. And may God help us to understand this gospel of God, the gospel of grace, gospel of Christ, gospel of peace, glorious gospel, and the gospel of kingdom. There's nothing like the gospel. Cherish it, nourish it, live it, and enjoy it. We should have the joy of salvation in our life. And this gospel should not make us bold. A great servant of God, he said, if somebody says he has got bored of Christianity, he has not met Christ. Can any Christian get bored of Christ? No. Christune kondu njan orikkalum madukkathilla. Madukku anengil ഞാൻ ക്രിസ്തുവിനെ കണ്ടിട്ടില്ല, രുചിച്ചിട്ടില്ല.
If I am bored of Christianity, I am bored of the gospel, that means I have not met Christ. This gospel is fire, It is a fire. Gospel is a fire. You can't quench it. This is a fire. You know, you will run. You will work. You will live. You will express. You will sing. You will preach. You will teach. You will love. You will forgive. You will forbear. You will be humble. You will be patient. You will be long-suffering. It will be spontaneous. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we come before thy presence with so much of repentance, with so much of feeling that makes us really awful. It is thy grace that we are here. We will never comprehend the eternality of this gospel because you chose us before the foundation of the world. What an election, what a predestination, and what an adoption. Lord, we will never fully comprehend the great, glorious eternality of this gospel, which was shown upon the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who thought of us, being mindful, thoughtful, and considerate, went to the cross, gave us the imputation of the righteousness, and gave us a standing before the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, by grace and by grace alone. What a forgiveness and what a sealing of the Holy Spirit that we have. And we stand on those precious promises. You have given us the divine power. You have made us the partakers of divine nature. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for enabling us to put a lot of insight and thought into this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which we have great treasure and we have a standing and foundation. Help us, Lord, to go back and think about it and live this gospel. Impact lives, impact destinies, and give us that fire. Yes, to run, to share, to speak, to preach, and to teach, and to sing. And Lord, live this life, run the race. And Lord, we pray that you will help us in your abundant grace to do it. If some of us, Lord, have that guilty feeling, yeah, Lord, take care of it, and we pray that you will strengthen us, you will revive us this afternoon. Make us powerful Christians to live in this world so that we are delivered from this present evil age. Oh yes, Lord, we want to live the life of Christ. We want to die for the world. And Father, Lord, help us to do it. Help us to do it. We are earthen vessels, weak people, strengthless. But you have promised, my grace is sufficient for you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In the most precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen.